Hi there. This is Ezra Altucker for the Hip Hop African blog, and today we're going to be talking about hip hop in West Africa, specifically looking at how the role of hip hop is different between Senegal and the Gambia. As a brief primer, Senegal and the Gambia are located on the westernmost point of Africa, and only became separate areas through colonization. Both are settled primarily by the Wolof people, although Senegal does have a significant Sahara minority. Gambia is an Anglo-oriented country, while Senegal is Francophone. So, through this artificial dissection, we have an interesting lens to look at how colonization affects modern culture today. How do borders, and all the systems they bring with them, affect something like hip-hop culture in modern Africa? Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Amy Samba. Amy Samba is a good personal friend of mine, and we actually lived with the same family in Senegal for 4 months together. Amy is Gambian-American and has spent some good time in both countries, and so she'll be able to offer a unique and really introspective perspective on the situation on both sides of the border. All right, so let's talk about Senegalese versus Gambian music. Just off the top of your head, how do you find differences in how they approach the subject?
In Senegalese music for Mbala, it's more so in French and in Wolof, and a lot of times they're bigger artists. And one thing I've noticed is one big artist is Youssou N'Dour, and he basically has signed like most of the Senegalese artists in Senegal. So there's Pap Ju, he didn't sign Wally, but there's a lot of them. And in Gambia, there are not a lot of artists in Gambia. Like, there's up-and-coming rappers, but, like, artists like Youssou N'Dour and stuff like that, there's really, you know, not such a thing there, more so.
And
more,
so,
like, Senegalese music is our music, kind of.
Yeah, so it's just, like, the borders don't really matter because the Wolof just kind of bridges it, right?
Together, yeah.
Yeah, so where do those up-and-coming rappers from Gambia come from? Are they just kind
of
like...
A lot of them are, like, in America or in Europe, or there's some. Like, there's one, he's a singer. His name is Bai Babu, and he actually sang a song with Pap Ju, who is that artist that signed by Youssou N'Dour in Senegal. And they have, like, one of his songs is, like, a remix with Pap Ju. So a lot of times, like, they work together, but there's really, like, off the top of my head, I really can't think of any artist in Gambia. Like, Bai Babu might be the, like, only one.
Yeah, Bai Babu was who was coming up in my research, and he really reminded me of a lot of the Senegalese rappers in, like, Senegal in general, just with that blending of European language. Like, Bai Babu was English and Wolof.
And I actually have a clip of Bai Babu here so you can hear the mixing of English and Wolof in his case.
It was really reminding me of our time in Senegal, where like there was that common thread of Wolof, but then there is the difference in the Francophone versus the Anglophone. But like, for me, that's just a reflection of what you see on the street. Like, it's not really a political choice. What are your thoughts on that?
That's true. It's not really a political choice at all. It's almost like you said, like, the border does not matter. Because a lot of, I think for us in America, we look at, like, you know, you live in Hawaii and you live in New York, and we're all in the same state, but we're in different areas. But Gambia and Senegal are different places, but they're literally within each other. So Gambian culture and Senegalese culture fuse together. Like, the same tribe, heritage, you know, Fulani, they're all the same, like, within Senegal and Gambia. They may have different traditions and things like that, but, I mean, like, just like you said, like, the border really doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, because I think that we, kind of looking from a decolonial perspective, have such a tendency to, like, maybe not overplay, but really overstate the effect of borders in Africa, and, like, kind of view it from a European perspective of, hey, like, this just cuts it off. But we see here, like, unless you're crossing the river from, like, Senegal to
banjo, like, there's really not much of a barrier.
Nope, not at all, nope.
But the language itself can kind of be a barrier when you have that Anglophone versus Francophone.
Mm-hmm. Because in Senegal, what I've noticed when we were there, French is spoken way more than Wolof, and definitely English. Like, it's very rare that you come across people. I mean, maybe they know English, but they speaking English come, like, in Gambia, all you hear is English. It's English or it's Wolof. And if it's not Wolof, it's, like, Mandinka, whatever, like, their actual languages are, like, whatever tribe they're from and things like that. But it's very different. Like, when we were in Senegal, that's one thing I really noticed. Like, French is, like, 24/7, 365. Like, it's very rare to hear Wolof. Like, when we were in Touba, it might have been, like, the most Wolof we've heard.
Yeah, Touba was just such a shift in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other thing we noticed was that Senegal's musicians are really, like, politically active. We had Yanamar in 2012 and sort of the France Dégage throughout then.
And, of course, we can't talk about Senegalese musical activism without playing a clip of the classic Faux Pas Forcé, which was one of the anthems of the 2012 Yanamar movement, which ultimately removed Abdoulaye Wade from power.
Is there a similar political engagement in the Gambia?
No, not at all. Not at all. I remember in Senegal, Youssou N'Dour was actually the Minister of Culture and Cultural Affairs, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, shit, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he was, if I'm not wrong. It's either cultural affairs or something that had to do with music, but I really do think it was cultural affairs. And everyone in Gambia was like, why would you hire him? Like, he's a musician. Like, musicians shouldn't be in politics. Politics is for politicians. Like, what?
That's crazy.
No, not at all. Not in Gambia. And that I can think of.
And, like, the politicians in Gambia, do they try and use musicians for campaigns or anything?
No, not really. Just because, like, there really aren't, you know, like, Gambian musicians. Like, I know Senegal, when Macky Sall was running for president recently, he had Youssou N'Dour do, like, a little concert thing for him. So, it's very different.
Yeah. And then, talking about the role of women, I think we both saw in Senegal there's still a lot of thoughts of, like, what's proper for men and what's proper for women, and music is often the male space, especially rap. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on the differences or lack thereof of, like, gender roles and that sort of thing.
I think rap is more, even here, I think now it's, like, more of, like, you see women that are prominent rappers, like Cardi B and Nicki and stuff like that. But, like, even in Senegal, rap is more so for the men. And singing is for, you know, women and men, but more so men. But the way that it works, one thing that I learned was in Senegal, a lot of the singers, I think all of the singers are from the tribe. They're Gewils. So Gewils are, remember when we learned about griots?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. So, like, that's how it works. Like, you're not, if you're not from that tribe of, like, griots or whatever, you cannot be a singer. Like, you're kind of looked at as, like, what are you doing? Like,
well, that's not
what you're supposed to be doing.
That's really interesting. So even today, like, the griot tradition is still really strong, even though the modalities have changed, even though now it's not necessarily producing history, now it's more kind of westernized.
Exactly.
Wow, that's wild. Because I know there's a couple artists in the Gambia and Senegal who, like, are explicitly noted of being from griot families, but I think that might just be the western
journalism.
And in fact, Gabi and artist T. Smalls is from one of those griot families, and we have a clip of him here, which I'll play now.
All right. Do you have any final wrap-up questions or wrap-up thoughts about kind of the effect of having two separate countries on the two cultures, especially as it relates to music?
One thing that I always do think about is if Senegal and Gambia could be one again, just because, like, we just had this discussion and they're basically the same thing, you know? It's interesting that this border is still a thing. Like, I know there was one point that Senegal and Gambia were one,
mm-hmm.
and this was when Yahya Jammeh was president after they, like, closed. There was even, like, a moment where they closed the, I don't know if it's the, like, the way that you go through is a ferry.
Mm-hmm.
And they closed it off. So you could not come to Gambia and you couldn't go to Senegal because they didn't, like, want anything to do with each other. So I don't know if it was the politicians at that time, maybe now we have a different president, maybe things will change. But it's just interesting because we're basically the same. We have the same culture, the religion, language kind of. So it's interesting.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it, and it was really informative. Thank you.
It was such a treat to have Amy in the podcast, and I think what she brought up was really critical in our analysis of how these hip-hop movements can affect the whole region. You have to really look at how these artists can affect discourse across regions, and if you blind yourself to only looking at Senegal or looking at Gambia, you're going to miss the whole picture. Language can be a really powerful tool for messaging. Do we want to, as an artist, identify with a global audience, including the diaspora, or do we want to build localized culture through language? I think Senegal and Gambia offer an interesting third option to this question, that you can do both. You can rap in what is your day-to-day language, and there can be that intermediary step. Overall, though, Amy brought up some really interesting points on politics and gender roles, and I want to thank her very much for agreeing to speak with me today. Thank you all for tuning in, and I appreciate you for sticking with me. Until next time, see you later.